Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said an inexcusable mistake is always made by the other fella. We appreciate the opportunity of being with you today. We're happy to be able to study the Bible together, and we're glad that we live in a country and in an area where it's possible for people just to get their Bibles out and to read and study for themselves and learn the will of God. We return now to our study of the simplicity of the Church of the New Testament. We've talked about the creed being simple. We talked about the organization, the way the Lord established each local congregation with Christ the head of the church, elders in each local congregation, and deacons who work with them under the oversight of the eldership, and those who are saints or those who are children of God. The term saint doesn't mean a dead person. It means someone who is a faithful Christian. Well, also, we were looking at worship, and we pointed out yesterday, as we talked about the simplicity of the worship that is in Christ, the worship, as the Lord designed it, must be a worship that pleases God. Our worship is not an effort to please other people and to put on some sort of a spectacle so that other people might observe what we do in our worship. My friends, while it's important that we involve people in our worship to God, the one thing that we need to remember is that God is the audience and we are the participants. We have part in that worship, and it is God who observes what we do. And so instead of trying to please each other, we put our attention on pleasing the one who is our maker. Well, in John 4 and verse 24, Jesus discussed with the woman at the well the subject of worship. And he pointed out that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The term in spirit simply means it comes from the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Wouldn't do us any good, would it, if we would just simply, go through a form or a ritual without really having our heart into what we're doing, without really meaning what we are saying? Well, certainly that kind of worship would not please God. Jesus said, these people are using the right words. They're drawing nigh to me with their mouth, with their lips they're honoring me, but their heart is far from me. And I'd like to remind you that when he talks about their heart, he's not talking about their blood pump. Many people in religion mistake the blood pump for the heart, as the Bible talks about it. Well, I don't believe in my blood pump, and I don't obey in my blood pump. I obey God in my heart. And that's the intellect. That's the understanding of man. I love the Lord with all of my heart. That's not my blood pump. That's my thinking, my understanding. And so when the Bible uses the term heart, it simply means our thinking. Jesus said, worship to please God must be from the heart. It must be with us understanding and thinking about what we're doing and what we're saying. Then a second thing that he mentions is that it must be in truth. As you look at the term truth, remember Jesus in John 17 and verse 17 said, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. The word of God, then, is the truth. And so if I worship God in truth, I worship according to the word of God. That is, I do the things that the Lord authorizes for me to do. Who knows how many things the world in general could come up with that they might in their own imagination decide pleases God. It would just be an endless list of things that people think you could do in worship because surely this would please God, according to their reasoning. But friends, the Lord didn't leave it that way, and he didn't leave us to guess at what pleases him. He rather, in his desire for a simple, easily understood way of redemption, let us know exactly what he wants us to do in our worship unto him. When I turn in the Bible and I read what the church did in the first century, and basically I'm reading from the book of Acts, as I look through that book, I find the actions that they engaged in their public worship. Those are things that are authorized for our worship unto God even today. Well, when I find what they did and I do what they did, then I'll have the same result. I'll be pleasing to God even as they were in the first century. We are not launching out on some newfound way of pleasing God, and we're not trying to please ourselves. Therefore, we turn to the Word of God to find out what did God authorize that we do in our worship unto him. When I get this fact clear in my mind, that makes a different perspective as regard worship. When people say, well, we believe it's all right to do this or that, and so they get the idea that we are the ones who determine what pleases God. I couldn't know what pleases God unless God told me. The only way I would know is to find out what he has said about it. Well, he has told me what pleases him, and therefore that's what we attempt to do in our worship unto him. Actually, there are five things that are done as we worship God in our public assemblies by the authority of the Lord and according to the truth from the heart. When we do those things, we follow a very simple, easily understood way of worship unto God. Let's look at what the Lord authorized. First of all, the Lord authorized singing and making melody in our hearts unto him. If someone were to ask me, what does the Bible say about the music of the church? I would turn to Ephesians 5:19 and read about singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Or I might look at the Colossian letter, chapter 3, and verse 16, and read that we must let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And so the Bible authorizes singing. There are a number of passages that have reference to it. Jesus was with his disciples, and they sang an hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives, Matthew 26 and verse 30. The singing of songs of praise to God was an action of their worship unto him. While I mention that, let me also remind you that that is what is authorized for us to sing and to use instruments of music that have been created by men is not that which is authorized. For almost 1,000 years after the church was established, the manner of worship in the New Testament church was singing without instrumental accompaniment. Well, we'll get into this a little more tomorrow. I hope you'll be listening. We appreciate your being with us and remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to